Fantasy managers, welcome back to the A-League's Fantasy Show, your one-stop shop for all the latest news and tips in the world of both men's and women's A-League fantasy. Lockie Flam with you back in the host chair once again to unpack the return of the double game week football across men's and women's, which has left us, me more specifically, with quite a big headache in terms of the amount that we now have to sort across the men's and women's fantasy teams. I'm sure many of you are feeling like that at home. I wonder how the two people who joined me today, though, are feeling after such a colossal weekend. James Dodd and Nick Dabano joining me this week. We've kicked off Matt Comito. Thank God he's nowhere to be seen. And Nick jumps in his stead. Nick, how have you recovered from the weekend's action?
Yeah, good. Thanks for the introduction there, Lockie. And great little bit of a tidbit there to say thank God we got rid of Matt Comito, right? No, it's been good. A fascinating weekend. Bolstered especially in A-League Women's by another really solid score from Vesna Milivojevic, especially if you had her as captain. It would have been a nice 70 points in the tally there. But we're all got our fingers crossed, hoping for some good news on the injury front that, you know, she's all good. But we'll talk about that a little bit later, about contingency plans, what the go is, because we're still not sure exactly what the diagnosis is here at the time of recording on Wednesday afternoon.
Dottie, you've kept your spot from last week. You're retained. I hope you're still feeling, you know, well rested. You managed to get a nap in or two from the last recording.
I'm feeling very infused, actually, because I've got Nick Dabano in my sights, especially in the women's league. I coming off the back of a 158-point haul in the women's game, and I had Vesna and I didn't captain her, so I can only imagine the points that I would have had I did captain her. But yeah, feeling very good. A lot of football to discuss from across both leagues. Some interesting trades. Nick touched on obviously the million-dollar question with Vesna Milivojevic, and also there's a few that we can discuss from the Isuzu A-League as well, as to who we potentially stick or twist. I know we held firm last week, but we got a few talking points to discuss. So looking forward to this one today, gents.
Absolutely. Well, it does lead us pretty nicely. It's sort of the, I guess, elephant in the room. You've both already mentioned it. Leading us into our review of our Liberty A-League fantasy team for round 7, a score of 115, so solid, an improvement on last week, not quite the heights of Mr. James Dodd, but of course, as has been the case for many managers except James Dodd, headlined by yet another masterclass from Vesna Milivojevic, 35 points, a hat trick for her. And if you had the captain on her as we did, she bagged you 70 points for the weekend. So doing the heavy lifting once again, but of course it did come at a cost. She did leave the game, you know, sort of not long after scoring that hat trick with an injury. We don't know the severity yet, but Nick, a lot of fantasy managers right now in a nervous wait, and our collective podcast crew is absolutely right about that lot.
Yeah, absolutely. Along with all the Canberra United fans, Negosh Popovic, her teammates, everyone really, just Liberty A-League fans in general, who have enjoyed this ride of seeing how well Vesna Milivojevic has played since round one, but even going back to last season as well, she was in some great form, but she's just gone to another level this year. But purely from a fantasy perspective, she put up her best score last week of 35 points. She's gone up since round one, an extra $200,000 from $483,000 as her starting price to now $684,800, and has a break even still of -7. So if she was to play this week and score what she's projected, she'd be getting close to, she'd be at 764,000 and be looking soon at her potentially getting to around $800,000 if she keeps this form up. It's numbers we very rarely see in A-League's fantasy. Craig Goodwin had similar numbers, but this is well and truly unprecedented. We're all holding our breath to find out exactly what the prognosis is. I mean, for now, it's hold. It's wait for, and hold fire at the moment. But, I think the big thing is having a few options up your sleeve to potentially, you know, bring in should Milivojevic miss time, whether it's, hopefully it's no time at all, but worst case scenario, she is out for the rest of the season. There are some options available in that midfield, which I think we can start to dive into, gents.
And I think, you know, we speak on behalf of everyone, not just fantasy managers, but just anyone who's had a passing interest in the Liberty A-League this weekend, that we hope that the news out of Canberra is good for one of the league's leading lights this season. We should head to the trade table, though, not least to potentially, you know, do some forecasting, some hypotheticals as to what will happen with Vesna in a best and or worst case scenario. But we should touch back on the moves we made last week, because usually this is the segment of the podcast where someone's in the crosshairs. Someone is going to cop it for a terrible trade that they made, and they just have to, they're either on the pod and they have to scramble to defend themselves, or they're off for a week and they return between their with their tail between their legs in a couple of episodes' time. But these trades, we were pretty aligned. We were all sort of, maybe this is like we've actually kind of reached comfort. You know, the honeymoon phase of the pod was the first few weeks. We had the fights and now we've just settled, because we all kind of agreed. The two Jets came in, Van Egmond for the back end of her guest stint and Serena Bolden. It didn't quite pay dividends for us, Dottie. They scored collectively 4 points total. We did still get the massive value rise of Emily Van Egmond, because her price shot up by a heap. So we've got a little bit of extra value to play with in the bank. But there's no one to point the finger at other than ourselves. I'm not really sure what to do.
I think we have to take our medicine on that one. But as you say, for a while, the points may not have been the standout factor for us this week. I think, as you mentioned, that the fact that we've got money in the bank going forward, we talked about last week about a sugar hit, didn't we? And how we thought it might pay off from a points perspective. But the fact that we have got that money there to move forward, we know she's only on a guest stint in the league. So that gives us options going forward. I think realistically, the acquisition of Serena Bolden was the smart one, because we know that there's the kind of a false front, if you like, in the fact that she's listed as the midfielder, which I know a lot of acute players in fantasy this year would have jumped on board that particular train, knowing that she's listed as midfielder and she's going to be placed centre forward. So while Melina Reyes isn't there, and while she's sort of, while Newcastle are looking for someone to provide that spark in in the team in terms of a goal scoring contribution, I think Serena Bolden will prove to pay dividends for us going forward. So as much as it would be nice to have Matt Comito here and just pin it all on him, as we often like to do, I do think I think we've still played this one pretty well.
And the thing to remember, of course, as well, is that, you know, the Jets were playing Sydney FC. It is one of the hardest tests that any team is going to get, the reigning champions, over the course of the season. Maybe Western United this week, who were, you know, no slouches, winning their first game under Cat Smith last week, but presents perhaps a bit more of an opportunity for Van Egmond to end her stint on the Hunter on a high, and for Bolden to get herself back on the score sheet. It's in a different area of the park, though, because Serena Bolden, Emily Van Egmond, both listed as midfielders. It's a different area of the park that is maybe deserving of more attention for us in terms of the trades. Because I'm looking at Rihanna Polisina, and I know she's a player who's been a consistent theme across the team, divided opinion. A return of 2 points on the weekend, Nick. Is it time to think? I know it was a difficult game, the top of the table clash with Glory. Is it maybe time that we think, especially because we have 201,000 in the bank, about maybe pulling the trigger and making a move here?
I think so. There's been a noticeable dip in her production since, well, in her last game she played with Holly McNamara, she scored 0 points against the Newcastle Jets, but only 6 points in two total games since then. A big drop in price to 341K last week. So that's a 95.8K dip, a break even this week of 22. So it looks like that she's going to be under 300K this week. So looking at it from a sort of value perspective, this might be the week to do it. And someone that you could probably relook at bringing back in later in the season, if she hits form again and her value has dipped, it's someone you can look at, you know, if you've got an underperforming forward or whatever else. But one thing, I think a caveat on that as well, is that City last week did have a number of first team players that were either being rested or on the bench, or, you know, no Rebecca Stott, no Daniela Galic was on, Amina Ekic started on the bench, Naomi Chinema, but more for those attacking sort of areas, with Galic missing, with Ekic, you know, that sort of linking and having all those sort of best players in around might have impacted that impact for Rihanna Polisena. So it's a 50-50 one, but if you're looking at it more from fantasy and thinking, will she score 22 points? It's within her kit bag because she's scored 27 and 26 this season already. But I think that this might be the week to maybe look at moving her on. The Mariners have shown, bar last week, that they've been quite resolute defensively. So maybe this is the week to move her on and maybe look to bring in one of those firing strikers, someone like a Millie Farrow or a Sophie Harding, who are in some incredible form at the moment.
Dottie, I know you are probably the biggest proponent, if memory serves right, of having Rihanna Polisena in this side. Are you okay with Nick's intimation that perhaps the time is nigh for her to be on the chopping block?
Yeah, I think so. That was my early season me. I'm a changed man since then because I do remember a few, maybe a month or so ago now, I'm championing the cause that we should get Millie Farrow in the team. And I think you could see there are outliers you could see here, or there are patterns that we can look at. And I think there are players that are contributing, maybe not necessarily, you know, from a goal standpoint, but with Millie Farrow as a prime example, we saw that she was assisting, she was playing. When Grace Jarlay was in particular, was in really good form, they were dovetailing really nicely. And I think now she's coming in, I mean, standout performance with that hat-trick the weekend. And I have to admit, I do have both Sophie Harding and Millie Farrow up front in my team, and Rihanna Polisena. So I think it's an interesting one. I do think with Rihanna Polisena and Melbourne City in particular against Perth Glory, they actually played pretty well in the start and they created chances. They just didn't put them away. And I know Hannah Wilkinson was saying as much on Dub Zone at the weekend. So I think it is time for us to maybe have a tweak and freshen things up. My personal pick would be Millie Farrow because I think she's in great form. Perth are in good form as well as a team. It was a great result of the weekend. Confidence is high. So if we can find a way of getting her in the team and making that trade, then I think that's one that I personally think we should pull the trigger on for sure.
Yeah, I agree with you there, Dottie. And just if you're at home and you're wondering as well what sort of the numbers are when it comes to Millie Farrow, she's 378.5K this week, has a break even of minus 17. So she's set to have a huge price hike this week. She scored 48 points in her last two games, 33 against City, 15 against Wellington. So this is a week to get on it. If you didn't bring her in last week, this is certainly the week before she really gets that area where if you haven't got the budget, then you're just going to have to wait for another dip later in the season. And who knows if that will actually come. So guys, I reckon if we're looking at it from, you know, sort of comparing values, I reckon Millie Farrow is the one. Sophie Harding's a little bit more expensive, but Millie Farrow, I think the fact, as you mentioned, Dottie's getting herself some assists as well. You know, when she's not scoring, she's still getting points on the board. So I don't know about you, Lockie, but should we lock it in?
No, I'm happy to be aligned with minimal fuss. I think there was always the sign from day one that there was a quality player in Farrow, and she wasn't getting herself on the board, but she was certainly contributing. Now that those goals are coming, I think, you know, we did cop a bit of a hit bringing a player in who was playing Sydney FC that week in the previous round, but we're going to back ourselves in to do it again. So that's our trade for the week. But of course, we may still make some movements depending on the news regarding Vesna Milivojevic's potential injury or not injury. Nick, for those who might be listening to the pod, when that news has come through, obviously, you know, she is the standout player this season, but an obvious option to trade out if she gets injured, depending on the severity. Can you give us, the fantasy managers out there, a sort of top line look at who are the potential replacement options? Give us, you know, three of the best.
Okay, so if she is playing this weekend, skip ahead. But if she isn't, certainly tune into this part right here. So I think that the number one option, I still think, as much as I think it really depends, if you're looking for a quick sugar hit, Emily Van Egmond is someone still to look at for 1 week because her value is still at a decent level to actually bring her in. Yes, she scored 2 points last week, but one caveat is she was coming back from international duty. She played 45 minutes. She'd just come back from flying back from Vancouver and literally played within days. She's had a full week to prepare for this game. You'd think that they'll get 90 minutes out of her. So I think that that's someone you have to consider. But I think if you're looking more long-term, Rachel Lowe is certainly someone from Melbourne Victory to look at. Coming up against Canberra this weekend, a team that is known to concede a lot of goals, concede a lot of chances. Canberra box office, they score a lot, but they also concede a lot. Rachel Lowe's had a quiet sort of couple of weeks, 6 and 8 points. So her price has dipped a little bit, but I think that she's someone to look at. And I think the other option, just to keep an eye on, she's had a few quiet weeks and some coaches might be a little bit 50-50. I know we've got her in our side, and that is Grace Jarlow. Three quiet weeks. She started on the bench last week. She was coming back from football ferns duty. I think it's a matter of time before she starts to find some form again. Her price has dipped to 329K. So if you're looking to get some, you know, sort of extra money in the bank, that is someone to look at. Or you could even wait until next week when her value is set to dip even more below 300K too. So I think they're the three sort of top line options to take a look at if you're looking for Van Egmond for the quick hit, or two options more looking long term.
Food for thought for A-League's managers out there. I wonder what the best in our league will be doing this week, because we're sitting in 22, so we're in a decent spot in our little private fantasy league with the A-League's fans out there. Fantasy team go boo, managed by Josh, is the leader. I think it stings a little bit that someone with such a flippant name is top of the pops at the moment, but globally, Nick, you're still sitting in second. In the overall fantasy rankings, the unnamed manager who is in charge of Victorious reigns supreme, just 3 points ahead of you on a total points for the season of 873. So if you want to take it to Nick in our private league and maybe, you know, give him a piece of your mind in the public domain as well, you can check out the links in our show notes to play against all of us and against the collective pod squad. That is now the official name for it. After last week, over to the Isuzu Ute A-League. It is a bit of a similar story for the men's team this week. 107 points, a little bit down on last week, but the continuing theme from team to team is one person giving the rest of the 11 an absolutely colossal chop out. And I speak, of course, of the man, the myth, the legend, Bruno Fornaroli, four of the best for the second time this season, the only player to ever do it twice in a single A-League's campaign. I mean, you run out of superlatives for this guy, Doddy, whether you're an A-League's fan or a fantasy manager or a combination of both.
You do. It's like the Bruno's now ticking off all of those boxes where the sort of the cliches apply. Like, can he do it on a cold Tuesday night in Stoke? Can he do it on a stinking hot afternoon at Combank Stadium in Western Sydney? Yes, he can. And it was another outstanding performance from Bruno. And he's now... You know, we've seen players like this before and performances like this before in league seasons where you think, okay, they've had a fantastic start, but we're 7 weeks in now and you're thinking, actually, it looks like he's going to continue this. Sure, he's not, probably the good chances are he's not going to get four goals in a game again this season, but he's just in such good form and he's just seemingly so confident and victory of and Tony Popovic have organised a team around him that play to his strengths, the acquisitions they bought in the offseason are seemingly dovetailing beautifully with Bruno, and everything is aimed around at getting the best out of that player, even despite the fact he's in his late 30s. So, you know, I think Bruno has naturally got a point to prove individually as well, given that there's an Asian Cup spot potentially up for grabs, you know, coming in the not too distant week or so. So that's fascinating as well. But I think just, you know, I you do run out of superlatives. And I just think with Bruno Fornaroli, we're looking at a player now that, you know, almost similar to players, you know, gone in seasons past in Fantasy Premier League, for example, who would just captain Erling Haaland every single week. I feel like Bruno Fornaroli is becoming the Erling Haaland of our league in terms of, you know, he's just the natural captain pick every single week now. And for me, that's where he should be for us going forward, because this isn't a blip, fluke rather. This is a red hot form, and this is continuing, you know, whether or not he scores four goals every week.
I honestly don't think we have to make the decision right now, but I honestly think it is one for us to ponder, not least because he's playing Sydney FC this weekend in the Big Blue, which should be a great game, but one you'd probably, without getting into the prediction talk too much, expect victory to win, expect Bruno to probably score against them again. But yeah, I think you're spot on, James. He is almost an insta lock at the moment for people who are picking their captains around. And it is a good thing that he scored so highly, because the rest of the front three didn't quite enjoy the same luck. Oscar Zavada, only a return of three in what was a shocking and difficult game for Wellington against the Jets. And Tommy Waddingham, just the 2 points. Sitting around 230K in value. I'm sure he's got Plenty of people have him in their team as the sort of third banana in the front three, or maybe as a bench option. He's probably the one we're looking at this week, but the problem we're going to keep on running into until we agree to make a massive downgrade, Nick, is we just don't have the facilities. We've only got 17.9K to work with. And when a player is sitting at 230K in value, it doesn't give you a lot. What can we do? What should we do this week?
I think we've got no choice but to back in young Tommy for another week. And I think this is actually the perfect week to do so. They're coming up against Western United, a team that are shipping goals. I feel bad saying for fun, but it does kind of feel like that at the moment. I think they've conceded something like 15 goals in their last six games during this losing streak. And there's a good chance for him to potentially, get a decent return in his sort of points value. So look, it has been a bit of a lean run for him. He's still getting in some really good goal scoring opportunities. My only concern is now, I know Brisbane have been able to ride this sort of bump with all these injuries, is there's no Florian Berengain, there's no Henry Hall for the foreseeable future. I know Jay O'Shea is now playing closer to goal, and we hope for the sake of our fantasy team that those two can continue to link up and get big scores, because, Jay O'Shea is having a great year fantasy-wise. I wonder how that might impact Tom Waddingham, but I think we've got to back him in for two more weeks coming up against Western and against the Central Coast Mariners, and then make a decision from there. Because as you said, Lockie, we just simply don't have the budget to bring someone in. And it's not as if that there is a sort of, really cheap striker at 150K that's come from nowhere that we can just go, we can just downgrade for 80K and bring them in. So I think let's give Tommy Waddingham a little bit longer.
You feel bad, don't you, Dottie, about the idea of just saying, let's keep a player because they're playing the team that's lost six in a row and have just conceded a boatload of goals against the Mariners. But, it is sound logic, and I think we have to hold on to Tommy Waddingham for now. But my question for you is, could we perhaps use that logic that Nick's presented in reverse? If we're wanting to hold on to a striker because he's playing against Western United's defense, I know we don't have a lot of cash. There is not a lot of room to maneuver here, but does that same rule apply that if we're getting rid of a player or keeping a player because they're playing Western, should we be trying to ship off a player because they are playing for Western, who are in a bad run of form? Because you look at Ben Garuccio, who started the season out as a premium defensive option in this competition and had a lot of people backing him. We've still got him. Probably a lot of fantasy managers have jumped ship a lot earlier. Is there anything we can do, anything at all, to just try and freshen up that defense a little bit? Because it's looking a bit ropey at the moment.
I don't know about you, Lockie. I'd hate to be a Melbourne-based journalist covering Western United that's currently on this podcast. But no, you're absolutely right. I feel you do feel a bit bad because it's, there's no other way to describe. They're the whipping boys at the moment. And, fantasy managers would have been shipping Western players, maybe probably after that hammering by Western Sydney Wanderers earlier in the season. The fact that we've persevered. I mean, we have got two Western players. We've actually got three Western players in the team. We've got Tommy Heward-Bell on the bench, Ben Garuccio, and then Lockie Wells. I think we'll leave Heward-Bell and Lockie Wells as they are. But with Ben Garuccio, I think we work for the league, but I think we have to put sentiment aside here. And I think we have to be smart if we want to have fantasy glory this year. And I think if we're looking at Ben Garuccio, he is somebody that I think we probably have to trade out. I mean, we've got Ivan Vujica on the bench and Mikel Docker as well. But I think if we're looking at someone that we know is going to play every week and a defence that is quite simply shipping goals left, right and centre, I think Ben Garuccio is the obvious candidate for us to get rid of. In terms of who we would look to bring in, there are various options. We discussed a few of them before we came on air. I think the standout option, Nick, I don't know how you think about this, I think is Yanni Nicolaou. And I know we discussed, MacArthur being in that kind of strange here, there and everywhere mode that they are at the moment alongside the Mariners and Melbourne City, given they're playing in continental competition. I think We probably could look at Yanni Nicolau. You know, he's had a really, really strong start to the season for MacArthur. MacArthur are one of two undefeated teams left in the league. They're playing really good, solid football under Mile Stojovski. And Yanni Nicolau, yes, they have they're traveling to, you know, to play AFC Cup action on Thursday. But we know if he's fit, he starts. So regardless of, you know, providing nothing happens to him, again, skip this part of the podcast if he does get injured. But I think the fact that we know he's going to play, he gets forward as well. It's sound logic for me. I think Yanni Nicolau is the potential in, and sorry, Ben, but I think Ben Garuccio would be the one out.
Yeah, I think that's a very fair point when it comes to Nicolau. He's one of the real popular, actually, selections amongst coaches so far this weekend, looking to bring in sort of that those defensive reinforcements. He's got a low break even. He's got a low price at just 203K. So he's going to make you money. You know, even if he just scores around about 6 or 7 points a week for the next couple of weeks. So if you can maybe use him to maybe, you know, if he just is serviceable for the time being, or maybe he can explode. We've seen at his best, he's had 2 scores of 15. He's had a score of 12. If MacArthur can continue to, you know, get wins, I think the key is obviously clean sheets. And if he can get forward and get assists as well, he's someone to certainly bring in. So guys, I'm all on board with that. I reckon let's bring Yanni Nicolau in. I think, yeah, it's unfortunate Ben Garuccio, because he's someone that gets forward, someone who has a very high ceiling because of his ability to get assists. But I think just the matter of that Western are conceding so many goals at the moment, it makes it so hard to even keep any Western defenders in at the moment until they turn that around.
We've really changed as a podcast, haven't we? I've never in all the weeks we've recorded seen such a united front when it comes to the trade table. Look, it's a good thing. I'm happy, Nick. I know you're the chief fence builder on the pod. We've been sitting on a lot of them. I'm glad to see you building more. We're mending fences right now. It's a repair business. It's really, really good to see. And we need, maybe that unity is going to help us improve a little bit, because in the public league, in our A-League's fantasy show league, we need to get back into the top 50, fellas. We're sitting in 62nd. We've jumped up 3 places. So maybe, just maybe, this trade is something that helps us do that. But sitting at the top and actually streets ahead in the total score of our fantasy show league is Sam, the manager of Super K. Well done to you, Sam. Of course, you can head to the show notes to join our league. But over in the world rankings, the global rankings, I suppose, we're nowhere to be seen. But it's a sort of similar story that the man who is, you know, leading the pack, Brendan, the manager of BC United Zebras, I appreciate the specificity, Brendan, is 20 points ahead of the next nearest. Actually, I think it's 18 points ahead of the next nearest, but still very, very solid. So well done to you, BC United Zebras. We have a lot of ground to make up on this podcast. We also have a lot of tips to give on this podcast, because it's prediction time for round 7 of both the Liberty A-League and Isuzu Ute A-League. James, you pipped me by just a fraction last week. You got 50. How much better when you're predicting 6 games a week? 50-50, 3 out of 6, just looks so... It's only one game, but it looks so much better than 2 out of 6. I'm looking at our scores there, James. I'm thinking, God, I wish I was Dottie right now.
It looks neat, doesn't it? It looks nice and neat and tidy. And I think, you know, to be honest, I actually reckon, had I not followed suit and copied and sat on a few of Debano's fences that I borrowed from last week, I think we probably would have been quite similar anyway, to be honest.
Well, the tipping competitions, if you're not already in them, are in the show notes. And, well, I would say that you could use us as a bit of a cheat sheet, but maybe the evidence is use Dottie more than you use me. And Nick, I'm not so sure about Nick, but let's get into the Liberty A-League first. It kicks off on Friday night, actually, in Gosford, where Central Coast take on Melbourne City. Melbourne City, of course, licking their wounds after a tough defeat in the top of the table clash with Perth Glory. Will they get some players back this week, do you think, Nick? And will that lead them back into the winner's circle?
Well, yeah, I mean, they had a bunch of players that were being rested last week, you know, as we spoke about it earlier. So players like Rebecca Stott, Daniela Galic, Amina Ekic, Naomi Chinema. Obviously, 3 of those players were on the bench, and another one missing in Julia Grosso as well. It's a lot of players missing, but a lot of key players to come back in if they can, you know, get all those players in. You'd think Melbourne City go in as heavy favourites. They've still got the league's best attack when it comes to goals scored. Yes, it was a loss they probably wouldn't have wanted to have last week against Perth, a team that they're probably going to have to come up against in the latter part of this season should they make the finals. But the one concern for me is still that defense. They've leaked 13 goals this year. So I know they had players missing last week, but it's an issue that's sort of been there even before that. But the Mariners, I think their big issue right now is that they just aren't scoring. Only 5 goals this season. They're not creating a lot of chances. Yes, they've been able to keep some games quite tight, but I do think Melbourne City are going to bounce back and win this game. I can't see them losing 2 on the bounce. I think they're going to be, they're going to flex in this game and they're going to win comfortably.
Yep, I'm with you. I'm with you, Nick. I think Melbourne City will learn lessons from that defeat to Perth last week. I think the fact that they played pretty well, and as you mentioned, you know, they had some notable absentees. Rebecca stopped being so crucial from that. I mean, they had a pretty inexperienced defence playing. They hadn't really played together before. So I think that will change. I think that will really solidify Melbourne City in this game. I like Mariners. I like what Emily Husband's doing. They play some good football. I was a bit disappointed because I had Taron King in my defense last week and that was -7 points. So that wasn't ideal. But yeah, for me, I just think Melbourne City too strong. Convincing win for them.
I know we do promise expertise on the fantasy pod, but sometimes the simplest answers are the best. If you can't score goals, you can't win games. And so how could you possibly tip the Mariners? It has to be a Melbourne City clean sweep. Now, a really interesting game to predict this one, because your prediction swings on information that unfortunately at the time of recording, we don't have access to, as Melbourne Victory play host to Canberra United. Is it as simple, Nick, as the fate of Vesna Milivojevic decides your prediction in this game, or is there some other logic playing into this one for you?
No, because I still think that their defensive issues are there. As much as they won 5-1 and it was a big win, Brisbane actually had more chances created, a higher XG than Canberra, can you believe? Much more of the ball. And so, you know, that goes to show that Brisbane really squandered a lot of good chances and Canberra were just taking theirs. So I think Victory are going to be too strong in this game. I think if Vesna doesn't play, it's such a huge out, you know, in terms of Canberra being able to create, also to score, just having someone to not only score the goals, but also feed Michelle Heyman. That's going to be a huge out for Canberra. I think Victory just going to be too strong in attack. I mean, they're starting to find their groove at the moment. Correa Aquino, 2 goals in 2 games. Got to get our MPLW Victoria shout out there. Lockie, but you know, she's in some good form at the moment. Rachel Lowe's had a couple quiet weeks, but you get a feeling this is the week to bounce back. They're back playing at Amy Park. It's going to be a big one, and I think Victory are going to come away with the win in this game.
Yeah, do you know what? I'm actually more of the opinion that everything for me, Lockie, hinges on Vesna Milivojevic. I think if she doesn't play, Canberra don't win, because Victory, they're coming up against a good Victory side, as Nick rightly said. They're starting to come into form. They're starting to really gel as a team, because they've, you know, a fair few changes and quite a few acquisitions in the offseason. I think with Canberra, everything that they do that it's good, Vesna Milivojevic is involved in. So we're all praying, fingers and toes crossed, that she is okay and it's nothing serious, you know, even if it's, at this point in time, if it was an knee injury that meant she was out for a month, that's still good news in regards to what we're fearing it could be for her, those dreaded 3 letters. So for me, I just think Melbourne Victory would be too strong in this game. If it was Canberra coming up against, you know, like last week against the Brisbane, or, you know, without wanting to throw them in there, and Adelaide, given the form that they're in, I think they might have a better chance of getting a result, given that they've already played them this year. I think they're coming up against Victory. I think it's just going to be too a tougher test, and I think it'd be Victory.
Yeah, it feels like they're finally finding their feet, their solidity, their consistency, Melbourne Victory, and I think I'm going to align with you two and pick them as well. A team that would love to find some sort of consistency in a positive fashion, Adelaide United. Wins few and far between this season, last season, just for quite a while now. Dottie, is it any chance of changing this week against Wellington? It's not a tough assignment, but they are at home.
You know what? There are times when you think surely the first win is going to arrive soon. But I just think with Adelaide that they're not giving off great signs that they've been unlucky, you know, and that they're due a win because they've actually, performances have been better than the results suggest. I just think with them, unfortunately, that they're coming up against the Wellington team under Paul Temple now, that is starting to prove that regardless of who is in the starting lineup, the tactical framework is now in place, and like they've got that blueprint there that they're just playing the same attacking brand of good football week in, week out, whether they're home or away. And I think with Wellington, they're so confident. They're a young team, but you know, they probably would have felt that, you know, had Speckmeyer scored last week, they probably would have beaten Melbourne Victory. And I think with Wellington, they're just coming up against a team in Adelaide where it's so down on confidence. They're not playing particularly well. I don't think they've been really deserving of more wins than zero this season. And I think it's a tighter game, but I just think Wellington will have too much for them. And I think Wellington will win this weekend.
Yeah, I agree with you there, Doddy. I think Wellington's just going to be too strong. Yes, they're on the road. Yes, I mean, eventually Adelaide are going to have to win a game. And look, you know what? They have dropped 7 points from winning positions this year, but in those games where they haven't been leading, they've never really looked in it. As you said, Doddy, some of those games, it's just felt like it's been inevitability that someone else is just going to win that game. They're not really possessing much of a threat as you would hope going forward. Yes, Chelsea Dorber's back, which is a big one for them. They've got Alani Janchevski, who I'm a big fan of, but defensively they're leaking a lot. They've conceded 17 goals this season. Wellington play a brilliant brand of football. They've got an attack that's firing at the moment, and I just think they're going to be too strong and they come away with another win. So another week waiting for that first win of the season. In fact, they haven't won since March. So it's a streak that goes all the way back to probably a month into last season as well. So yeah, we'll see. Hopefully it can turn around for them soon, but I don't think it's going to be this weekend.
Yeah, I can't see any. I like to stir the pot, but I there's not an argument I can make that puts Adelaide ahead of Wellington. It's a Wellington win for me as well. Now, this is a very important game for our fantasy team. It's probably quite an important game for a number of fantasy teams if they've been active in the trade market. It's the farewell game for Matilda star Emily Van Egmond as she plays the final game of her four-game guest stint at the Jets, and they face a Western United team who obviously got their first win last week against Adelaide under new head coach Kat Smith. Nick, are Kat Smith's side going 2-2 to start her tenure, or will the Jets send EVE off with a bang?
I think this is probably one of the toughest games to pick across both competitions, because Newcastle have been very competitive over the last few weeks, even in the losses against Melbourne City and Sydney. They've started to, you know, find some consistency just all around the park, not just with Emily Van Egmond coming in. They were really good defensively last week against Sydney. Western United, you know, look, it was a good win last week, but they haven't been able to string together consecutive wins. So that's a challenge now that Kat Smith needs to find in this team, is finding consistency. But this, it feels like it's a lot bigger for Newcastle, because this is the farewell game for Emily Van Egmond. It feels like it's a game where there's going to be another good turnout, number two sports ground. It feels like that is going to carry a lot of extra significance. The last time these two teams played, Western United came to their home ground and absolutely battered them 6-0. So I think that for some of the players who were, you know, were there last year, it still stings in the back of their mind. This is an opportunity to it's the get right game for them. So I think that, honestly, I actually reckon the Jets are going to win this game, guys. I get a feeling they're going to send Emily Van Egmond off on a high. I think Van Egmond's going to have a pretty good game as well, if I'm going to be bold, not just saying that for the sake of our fantasy teams, but I think she's going to end her time here on a high. It's just a shame we're not going to have her here for the rest of the season. But, you know, I think that she's going to be walking off into the sunset with 3 points in the bag there for the Jets.
I am going to go and sit on the fence. I think it's going to be a score draw, although I'm going to manifest something which I think would be fantastic for us. I think Emily Van Egmond is going to set up Serena Bolden to score in this game. And I think it's going to be, I don't often give score predictions. I think this is going to be 2-2, because I think Kat Smith's Western United reign got off to a good start last week. I thought they were pretty impressive. The Taranto Twins, as we know, were very, very good in that game. Hannah Keane on the score sheet as well. I just think this is going to be an exciting one. I think Newcastle are going to be really up for it, obviously, because they want to, as Nick rightly says, they want to farewell Emily Van Egmond, but I do think this is going to be a draw.
I like where your head's at, Doddy, in terms of the goal scorers. I'm not sure I like where you're at in terms of the prediction itself. I agree with Nick. This is going to be a lovely send-off in front of a very strong crowd for Emily Van Egmond, and Newcastle Jets will get the win. Over in Brisbane, the Roar face Western Sydney, one of the form players of the competition, one of the form players of Dottie's fantasy team in Sophie Harding is looking to keep the good times rolling. Dottie, does she do that? I mean, I know you've got a considerable conflict of interest, but where's your head at for this game?
I actually think Western Sydney Wanderers are going to get another win here. I think they're going to make it three in a row. I think Brisbane are starting to show signs that they're, you know, it's never easy for a new coach coming in when they haven't had a preseason with the team. They haven't had the option to sort of get their tactical, you know, plans across to the side and their ideas and how they want to play. And I think when you come in and you're trying to change and correct a dip in or a bad start to the season, that's never easy. But I think Brisbane have showed a few little signs early on that they're starting to right the ship. But I think they're coming up against a Wanderers team that's in good form, two wins in a row. And I think, to be honest, my only concern is I know that there were shots at the end of the game last week with Sophie Harding having a bit of ice on her hamstring. I hope that's okay and it's nothing, maybe it's just a bit of a soreness or whatever and she'll be fine to go, especially for my fantasy team. But I'm going to pick the Wanderers again. I just think they're on a crest of a wave at the moment. They're riding high and I think they're going to make it 3-3.
Yeah, I agree with you, Dottie. I reckon the Wanderers are going to win again. You know, it was Teo Pelletieri on Dubzone that spoke about the 4x100 Wanderers at the moment with how much speed they play with. And I think Robbie Hook has actually found the right system to get the most out of it. You know, playing those balls in behind and just backing in the speed of your Hardings, your Roos, your Caspers, you know, those sort of plays being able to get in behind defenses and cause problems, I think is going to be a bit too much for the Raw. You know, a bit of a disappointing result last week, you know, only conceding, I think it was that, well, they obviously conceded 5 for the game, but it came from 8 shots. So, you know, conceding that, it's not exactly the sort of stat line you want to be looking at when you're doing your review. So look, Alex Smith's got a big job on his hands. They haven't won in 5 games, but I think the Wanderers right now, they're in a bit of a groove and it's been some turnaround from Robbie Hooker in the last few weeks. So I think the Wanderers come away with 3 points.
I'm going to go for a draw in this one. I think I can't get out of my mind what you said about the game against Canberra, Nick, how desperately unlucky Alex Smith's side were to not come away with anything against Canberra and to get smacked by Canberra. I think the luck turns this weekend. I think Sophie Harding gets on the score sheet, but it's a score draw between the Raw and Western Sydney. And then rounding out the weekend with a bang is the ladder leaders Perth Glory facing the reigning champions in Sydney FC. Nick DiBano, who wins and why?
Oh, this is a great game. It's just a shame for us on the Eastern Seaboards at 10 o'clock because, you know what, it'd be a great game to have in prime time here, but it's great for the fans over in WA. Well,
that's why caffeine was invented, Nick. Coffee was made for this purpose.
Exactly right. So if you're planning on staying up, get the espresso machine fired up. This I spoke about get games of the round. This is another one right here. This is going to be a cracker. Reigning champions versus the league leaders. Probably going to be an up and about Macedonia Park. This is really tough because Sydney, look, they're starting to get players back. Kirstie Fenton's back. Courtney Vine's back. Perth have been so good at home. They've been so good this year just in general. I'm going to sit on the fence here, guys. I haven't sat on the fence yet at all in this podcast, but I think this is the one. I'm going to say a 1-1 draw in this game. But if I'm going to be even bolder, I think we're going to see more than just 2 meetings between these 2 sides this year. I think we're going to see this game again come finals time. And I'm looking forward to seeing when that matchup comes about and these teams are at hopefully full pelt by that stage.
I'm going to learn my lesson from last week, Lockie. I backed Melbourne City to beat Perth because I thought Perth were going to have a little bit of a dip. They proved me completely and utterly wrong, and I'm going to go with Perth to win this one today. I think Millie Farrow is in such sizzling form at the moment. I think we're going to see a better Grace Sharley this weekend. Obviously, it's a big boost for Sydney FC having Courtney Vine back and you know, Shea Connors there and Vine getting on the score sheet like she did last week. But I just think Perth are going to be too strong at home. I'm going to go for a win for Alex Abakas' side.
Yeah, Millie Farrow hopefully keeps up the form for the benefit of our fantasy team. She gets on the score sheet, but Perth and Sydney share the points. A 2-2 draw for me. Over to the Isuzu Ute A-League, and there is cracking narratives this weekend everywhere you look. It starts on Friday with an Aloisi derby. John Aloisi and Western United hosting Ross Aloisi, his brother, and the Brisbane Roar. It's a tough one, though, on the form books to tip against Brisbane, Dottie.
It is. I just think the way that Ross Aloisi side are playing, they've gone to the Mariners and got a win. They've gone to Adelaide and got a win. I just think they're so confident and they have such trust and belief in what Ross Aloisi wants them to do. And I think you're seeing that, you know, even without the likes of Florent Berenguer, we know that Jay O'Shea stepping up. The defence has been really good this year. On the flip side of things, I think if there is ever a game that's going to indicate whether a team is playing for its manager or not, it will be Western United in this game. And I just think for me, it's very, very hard to reverse such a poor run of form that Western are on. Six losses in a row is, you know, it's pretty diabolical, isn't it? And I think to be honest, I can't see them winning this game. I actually think it might be a draw, this game here. Brisbane have shown a lot this year that they go ahead and they sometimes get a little bit jittery when they're in the lead. So I actually think this is going to be a draw, this one.
You know what? Like, as you said, Dottie, the response has to, if it doesn't come after last week, when is the response going to happen? You know, John Aloisi publicly saying this was the worst game that we have played in my tenure, you know, very, very clear. Like, if he's saying that in front of the cameras, I can only imagine what he was saying in the change rooms. I actually agree. I reckon Western United get something out of this game. Brisbane do have the casualties mounting up, and I do think that Western having 2 days extra rest as well, Brisbane travelling again, this being at Amy Park, I think that Western United get a point in this game. Might not be enough to get a result, but I think that we see a little bit of a response from John Aloisi's side.
You get the feeling their luck will turn eventually, but I just can't see it being against Brisbane. The Roar win this one on Friday night. For me, Western Sydney host Adelaide United. I'm going to predict a draw, but we're all hoping for a repeat of the 4-4 draw at Coopers last week. Nick, you're coming with me on the journey, or are you zagging off?
You know what? I really hope we get a 4-all, because the Wanderers, you know, last week we almost got a 4-all in the way that game was ending. Maybe there was another minute we would have gotten 4-all in that game against Victory. Both teams coming in off losses. Adelaide have been in a bit of a dip, 3 losses in their last 4 games. This is a real tough one, but I think the Wanderers win this game. I just can't see them losing back-to-back games. Adelaide have shown some frailties in the last few weeks. You know, I just think Western Sydney might just be a little bit too strong in this one. They come away with a 2-1 win.
Western Sydney Wanderers for me, gents. They weren't at their best last week against Victory by any means. Marco Redan was pretty clear in that, and what he said, actually said before the game, he didn't think they were very good the week before, and again he didn't think they were particularly good after this game, even if the scoreline made it look a bit closer than it actually was. For me personally, I think Adelaide's biggest problem is I don't think they've got a striker that's scoring enough goals for them, and I think that's going to hurt them up against ordinarily what's been a very, very resolute defence for Western Sydney Wanderers. And I just think when you've got the attacking options and the arsenal that Western Sydney have got with Marcus Antonsson, Milanovic, you've got, you know, Lockie Brook has already scored a couple this year. Dylan Parise is a pretty dangerous player as well. I just think Western Sydney Wanderers are going to be too strong. I think they'll win this.
Newcastle Jets shocked the world last week when they knocked off the ladder leaders Wellington Phoenix. They play host to Perth Glory this time around, the Adam Taggart Derby. I'm sure the Tagster will be sniffing around for a goal this weekend, but I've got Newcastle Jets winning back-to-back games here, Nick.
You know what? I've got Perth Glory finally ending this horrible run outside of WA. Now, for those that don't know, they have won 1 in their last 26 league matches outside of WA. It's a run that I think it has to end eventually. We need to start seeing some good times in the Glory. You know, look, they were unlucky last week not to get something against Melbourne City. Jamie Young made a number of good saves. They missed the penalty. Adam Taggart's in some good form, and I actually think it turns for them. And I think they come away with a real tight 2-1 win here against the Jets.
I actually think it's going to be a draw, this one. I think we've got two strikers who are potentially vying, you know, Apostolos Stamatolopoulos is maybe an outsider in this potential Asian Cup equation for strikers for Graham Arnold, you know, which he's going to make that decision very, very soon. But I think you've got him and you've got Adam Taggart, are both in very good form at the moment. And I think very similar to what we saw in the first game of the season where Perth were winning 2-1 and then threw it away late in the game, I actually think this is going to be another score draw. I just think both sides are cancelling each other out. They've both got goals, but defensively, I think both sides have been pretty shaky so far this season. I'm going to go for a draw.
We've got our second big blue of the season already this Saturday night. Melbourne Victory playing host to Sydney FC. I've got a two-part prediction for you, gents. Who's winning the game? How many goals is Bruno Fornaroli scoring? Because I've got Victory and I have 2. Nick, what have you got for me?
I've got Victory winning this game as well, and I've got Bruno scoring. Look, you know what? I'm going to go 2, because if this is the last game that he's got to really like put forward his Asian Cup case, he's going to go out with a bang. If it all comes down to this and he's been told, hey, like, you know, go Just go gangbusters. I would not be surprised if he scored four again. And you know what? If he does, it would be something because all sorts of records would shatter. But I'm just going to go out and say it. I think he's going to have another big game. And I think Victory is going to win this one. They haven't played at home now for a while. It's going to be a great turnout. So I'm really looking forward to seeing how that one plays out on Saturday night.
You wouldn't say four, Cody. You wouldn't do it.
Not four. I think he'll score one. But I actually think there's a couple of interesting stats going into this game. So four of the last five meetings between these two sides has been won by the away team. And rather whether this plays any part in it at all, which I don't think it does, Ufuk Tale hasn't won his last three managerial matches against Melbourne Victory opposition. So I actually think you're starting to see some good signs from Sydney FC under Ufuk Tale. I think they played really well against MacArthur, despite being down to 10 men from the 15th or 16th minute. So I think Melbourne Victory have shown their strength so far this season. But I also think the biggest problem they've had, sometimes Bruno aside, is that they've been creating chances that haven't really been putting them away. And they had those four draws in a row, didn't they, where it was, you know, they probably deserved a bit more, but they didn't quite get over the line. I actually think this is going to be a draw, this one. I think Bruno will score, but I think Sydney FC are starting to show their mettle, and I think we might get a very competitive game.
We've got a grand final rematch on Sunday. Melbourne City playing host to Central Coast Mariners. This is another game where a team will be sweating on the fitness of one of their players after Matt Leckie was subbed off in the Asian Champions League with an injury for City. Again, hoping that is not too serious. Nick, in the grand final, it was Central Coast getting the win. I'm backing them to do it, to repeat the trick in this game. How are you feeling about it?
I don't know, because, I mean, the two teams are so different from what we saw in June. I think, like, what? If McLaren and Leckie, we know, are under an injury cloud, both don't play. That's more players that aren't going to play, that didn't play in that grand final. And so many have either left to go to different clubs or, you know, in the case of Andrew Nabu, he's injured. I mean, Mariners returning from the Philippines on Thursday as well is another thing to factor into this. It's a short turnaround than having to fly to Melbourne. Melbourne City, yes, they played Wednesday night. Yes, they were emotionally sapped after that game. They were genuinely distraught after that. They were really disappointed with how that played out. The time when you're listening to this, they might have actually progressed to the next round with some help. So maybe the spirits are up again. But I actually think Melbourne City are going to win this game. They're at home, first game in the league at home in quite a while as well. Not having that travel factor, you know, having that bit of extra time, I think they're just going to be a little bit too strong for the Mariners in this game.
I'm going to sit on the fence again, because I think, you know, though you mentioned about, obviously, you know, McLaren's been carrying a knock. Matt Leckie, we don't know as it stands. And that was, you know, they're two massive players for them. Toge Arslan has started to really find some consistent form for them, which is, he's so key to that side, because probably on his day, he's arguably the best footballer in the league. So I think those are the real positives. I think the negatives for the Mariners are the fact that, yes, they have to go to the Philippines, and it's not as if it's a game where they can send a younger squad. They have to win the game really they know if they win, they guarantee their spot in the next round. So they're all actually going to be going out, and that trip to the Philippines has meaning for them. So I think that's going to affect them. The travel, they've actually been used to doing all these travels, both sides have, really, coming back and then playing A-League games competitively at the weekend. So I think that's a positive. The reason I think it's going to be a draw is because I think, slowly but surely, the Mariners under Mark Jackson have actually started to try and started to find the back of the net. They were creating a lot of chances. They weren't putting them away. Just, you know, their XG was always probably higher, if not more so, than the opposition. And they were losing games. So I think they've now found the secret to scoring goals. And I actually think they'll find the back of the net against Melbourne City. I just think it will be a draw, because I think Melbourne City also possess too many good attacking options.
To round out round eight, Monday night football makes its return in Campbelltown. MacArthur, of course, last time played at a 4-3 thriller on the Monday with Adelaide United. I can see them getting another win here against Wellington in a high-scoring affair. Does anyone want to take me on? Nick, I'll throw to you first.
Milosevic said it. They love Monday night football. They thrive under the Monday night lights. There's something about it. Maybe it's a bit of magic in the air. Just throwing all the M's up at the moment. All the alliteration, really, for MacArthur on Monday nights. Again, similar sort of thing. It depends. Like, they've been a bit more, when they've travelled in the AFC Cup, rested some key players. Like, Uli Davila hasn't gone to some of the games overseas or whatever else. They have to win as well. But they've probably got enough strength in depth, in all due respect, to dynamic Herb Sebu. So probably still win that game with a few of those players missing. This is tough, because I just don't know if, Because Wellington, look, you know, you could see them bouncing back after that disappointing loss. I think last week was a little bit of an outlier. But I'm going to say it's going to be a very entertaining game for the fans that travel out to Campbelltown Stadium Monday night. I think there'll be Monday night magic, but I think it'll be Monday night magic for both teams. I'm going with a score draw.
I'm going to go for MacArthur. I think I've seen enough so far from Milos Stojovski's team that I think they're actually playing really good football. And I think, you know, now a lot of people are starting to kind of put a bit of respect on them, because I think they're seeing that it wasn't just a kind of a fluky start. They're really hard to beat. They defend really well. Jake Holman is in fantastic form. Willy Davila, as you rightly said, is starting to sparkle again. Valer Germain scoring goals. They've got the youngsters like Rafael and Jed Drew are providing a lot of energy. I think with Wellington, we've seen that performance against Newcastle was a bit of a shock. I think most people watching that game would have thought, you know, that they moved away or for some reason, you know, they were just way below the standard that they've set so far this year. They've won away on the road at Western, which, with all due respect to Western, that, you know, that's not the biggest achievement for teams this year, because quite a few teams have beaten Western. I think realistically, I just look at MacArthur at home. I think they'll be too strong. I think there will be goals in this game. I can't see clean sheets, but I think MacArthur will get the job done.
Jens, I'm not sure about you, but I don't think I've ever been so physically and mentally drained from just sitting on my chair. Something about the whipping through the whirlwind predictions just does a number on me every week. I'm not sure. I hope you guys are okay. But speaking of whirlwinds, Unite Round is right around the corner once we get through this holiday season. 4 days of action-packed A-League football, Liberty A-League and Isuzu Ute A-League, all in the one place, all on the one weekend. And of course, as part of Unite Round, we're inviting young people, young footballers to play in the first ever Unite Cup and Girls Unite Gala from the 11th to the 14th of January. Of course, running alongside Unite Round. 3 days, you get to train and play like a professional, you know, at these coaching clinics. You can get photos with A-League's players. Of course, you'll get to participate in the march. We saw a couple of those junior marches last season. You'll get to be in this one. And if you're super competitive, and I know we certainly are in this podcast, but we won't be able to participate, not quite meeting the age requirements, the Unite Cup will be up for grabs for the first time. Each and every registered participant gets a free Unite Round ticket as well. You can see all of the games on the day that you're participating in the cup with that ticket. So a great way to spend your Unite Round weekend, spend your summer holidays, but places are limited. So make sure you register now for your young person, if you're a young person yourself, or if you've got a kid, a sibling, a cousin who you need to reconnect with and do a favor. You can head to aleagues.com.au/unite-grassroots to register. That's aleagues.com.au/unite-grassroots. To sign up a friend, sign up a sister, a brother, a cousin. But in the meantime, I'll be crossing my fingers and toes for the sake of our fantasy teams. I'm sure you'll be doing the same, gents. I'll be doing it for our predictions as well. But until next week, we'll farewell you for now. Myself, Lockie Flanagan, James Dodd, and Nick DiBano will be back next week on Thursday as a trio. Matt Comito kicked to the curb once more. But if you can't wait until Thursday for the next episode, of course, the official Isuzu Ute A-League podcast. The review show will drop earlier in the weekend, but until next Thursday, gents, enjoy the football.